In recent months, high-level discussions have emerged among some of Detroit's most influential players, including General Motors, Dan Gilbert's real estate company Bedrock, and several architectural and construction firms about the future of one of the city's most iconic landmarks, the Renaissance Center. This complex, a dominant feature of Detroit's skyline for nearly 50 years, is facing the possibility of significant changes, with partial demolition being a key option under consideration. Let's bring into the conversation someone who's been covering this from top to bottom, Jamie LaRoe, who is automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing well. And I mean, you know, when you talk to people about the Renaissance Center and you start bringing up demolition, people are like, well, you know, I don't know. But I mean, that's a good possibility, at least partial anyway.
It is. And, you know, the first time I heard about it, it was very shocking. It was back in May, actually, when Mary Barra was speaking to the Detroit Economic Club and was pointedly asked by WDIV's Rhonda Walker if demolition was an option. And Mary Barra did not deny it. In fact, she said, we're going to look at all other options first, but it is a key building or property. Keyword being or property, you know, where it's located. So that gave a really big hint right there that demolition was on the table. But just to what extent and how realistic was it, you know, nobody was really sure until we started doing some more digging and reporting and learned that it's a very serious discussion.
Property is ambiguous. And so you could say property as in land or property as in a property where you have a building and leasing possibilities and capabilities. Now, I'm visiting here at WJR, and they've got a heck of a view.
Yes,
from the Ambassador
do.
Bridge to the three spires of the Rensen. When
yes.
you get here, people are told the Rensen is short for Renaissance Center. But it's also impossible to navigate if you don't know it. I've been there a handful of times because the shops aren't accessible. I've been to some meetings, and it took me an hour to get out because I got lost. And so when you hear potentially partial, that might make people feel better because the skyline, we have a limited skyline, and that is a big part of the skyline, right?
Absolutely, yes. And I think that's part of the thing they're considering is you want to preserve some of that because it is globally known. I think Detroit is probably recognized by that skyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do want to preserve some of that. But Paula, you make a really good point, and that was one of the people I was talking to, actually more than one, brought up was the whole inefficiency of the design of the Renaissance Center now. The roundness of the buildings and the all glass makes it very inefficient for heating and cooling and other operations. It's very hard to navigate. It's not accessible. It's not easily accessible, I should say.
At all.
It's not easily accessible by the public. And, you know, when it was sort of built like the city unto itself, almost like a fortress.
Right.
And what they want, the vision of the future, is something that's more opening, something that is like a gateway is the term someone used, the gateway to the city between the river into this heart of the city, not this sort of barricaded fortress like front there is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're grappling with. That's kind of what they're thinking and looking at.
We're speaking with automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press, Jamie LaRoe. Jamie, how do you think the post-pandemic shift, you know, to hybrid work environments maybe influenced the decision to consider that partial demolition of the Renaissance Center?
I don't know if that necessarily played a part in that part of the consideration, but it is important to note that post-pandemic, the population, the foot traffic inside the Rensen dropped tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a number of stories on it, and businesses have struggled. Some have, a lot actually, have gone out of business. And so that does make a difference. When you're having thinning crowds and the office workplace and world has changed markedly, that office space isn't necessarily in demand anymore, you know, that does say, okay, what purpose can we use these buildings
right.
for? Because they're mainly offices. And if we don't have that population, how are we going to fill it? And that was one of the questions. It still is one of the questions that's being studied because they're really not efficiently designed to renovate them into, say, apartments or condos. It could be done, but it would be very inefficient and how, you know, would people want that there? Would it be the design they want? You know, there's a lot of questions there that have to be answered. But to your point, yeah, if you don't have the foot traffic and the demand for office space, that can be a problem. So that is part of the consideration.
Jamie, you make a really good, pardon me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you make a really great point about whether or not they're able to retrofit. Now, you know, Detroit is hot. It needs housing. It needs apartments. And you're saying that it doesn't lend itself to that, but you're also talking about a shift in work habits. It's 5.52 million square feet. So even if you renovate some of the lower structures, those three spires, you've got to do something with it. It just can't be an iconic structure that's part of the skyline. You know, how do you fill that, if not but for the ability to retrofit it into some sort of living space or multi-use space?
Right. And that is the question that is being studied right now as to, you know, it does, is it suitable if they were, you know, to keep, let's say, the biggest tower in the middle. That's where the Marriott is, okay? So you've got a huge hotel there. So you've got that already there. Could you put in some housing as well and some shops and make that work? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying this as a hypothetical. But these are some of the questions that the key decision makers are asking. They're looking at the cost. No matter what it is, it's going to cost a lot of money because demolition itself is not cheap. And then you're renovating, and then if you're going to rebuild something else, that's also quite expensive. You've got all the studies, the site measurements, you know, everything that goes into the cleanup, everything. It's going to be tremendously expensive.
Well, Jamie LaRoe, automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press, we know you'll keep an eye on it, and we will follow you and the pages of the Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye, Jamie. Have a great day.